This recorded interview is a major part of the local history option required from Year 12 history students attending Merrick High School in 1989. My name is Megan Brady and I have conducted my interview with Mr. Donald Beek, a citizen of Upper Beaconsfield since 1930. The major aim of this interview was to collect information to test my hypothesis, which states that people living in the Upper Beaconsfield and surrounding areas in the 1930s had varying occupations, each of which was affected in some way by the Great Depression.
First question I'd like to ask you was when and why your family moved up to Upper Beaconsfield?
We moved up here in 1930 onto an orchard in Put Road. Before that we were at Mulgrave on a market garden in the early part of the Depression, but after we came up here, we've been here now for nearly 60 years.
And how old were you at the time?
12. I was 12, nearly 13. I left school when I was 13, nearly 14.
So your parents just worked on the farm, with the orchards?
On the orchard, yes. Yeah. I had two older brothers who worked on the orchard with Dad. There was 38 acres of orchard, including 20 acres of lemons. The rest were apples, cherries, and apricots.
And what did you do? You said you left school and then you went to work on the orchards too, did you? What was the
there? There was nothing else, you see, then. The nearest high school was Dandenong, the nearest tech school was Caulfield, and of course there was no transport and we were a long way from the railway station, there was no transport, so we just, as soon as I got my merit certificate, that was it. I was nearly 14 and I went working on the orchard then.
Yeah. What were some of the jobs that you did on the orchard?
I can remember I left school up here one day and the next day I was harrowing with a horse. It was a creamy coloured horse called Tom. And Tom knew more than I did, of course. And after that, of course, there was spray pump work, and every 3 weeks we had to spray for cotton and mothwood arse into the lead. Earlier on, of course, the early sprays was mainly Bordeaux and then lime sulphur.
During the Depression time, did your family experience any effects like hunger or anything like that?
Not so much hunger. But it was mainly bread and things that we grew ourselves, like poultry. We had a lot of eggs because Mum always had chooks, you see, and then when they got a bit old, well then we'd have them to eat. We had to chop the heads off and clean them and pluck them, and that would be our meal then for a couple of days, and that was quite a treat. But it was mainly bread. Cakes that Mum used to make, and if we ran short of bread, she used to make pancakes or parkas they're called now, or scones, and we'd have those.
Do you think other people did much the same thing?
Very similar, yes.
Mm-hmm. And were they mostly orchard or suppy? Were there other occupations?
Yes, there was practically all orchards up here then. There was hardly any farms of any sort. See, Fallinghurst hadn't even started then. That was cleared after that. Some of the orchardists had quite a bit of land and they'd rear some cows and that on it. But other than that, there was very few farms.
And no other different occupations besides orchards, you think? Like, there was a store up here then, wasn't it?
The
general store?
Oh yes, yes. Yeah. Where it is today.
Yeah.
It was there.
Yeah. And there was no other shops up here then?
No, no. There was a greengrocer's. It's been pulled down now, just this side of the store. And then the milk bar was opposite, you see. But weren't doing too well. It was called Cornmore Tea Rooms then. And they had afternoon teas and that for the guests at Salisbury House and Runnymede, and that they used to go there for afternoon tea. They made more out of that, because these soft drinks were no good because there was no refrigeration here then. That was before the SEC came up here.
Entertainments at the time, about Salisbury House, pardon me, you said that they had dances and things up there?
Not at Salisbury. Yeah.
Not at Salisbury.
In the hall.
In the hall.
Yes. That was about there, and that was only occasionally. Occasionally there'd be a group come up from Melbourne and put on a night in the local hall up here, singing and so forth, you see, good artists and that from Melbourne.
And do people play sport? Like cricket?
Cricket and tennis was the main. The tennis courts were up at the hall and the cricket ground is where it is today.
The guest houses in the area, do you think they were affected in any way by the depression?
No, I don't think so, because they came up by train. Mm. And I don't think they were affected very much. They always seemed to be full at Christmas time and public holidays and that. They always seemed to be full. And there's always somebody walking around up there, like from the guest houses. Because then, of course, it was a long way from Melbourne.
Yeah, certainly. It's still a long way now.
Yeah.
A long trip on the train. The sustenance workers that built Emerald Road, were they all from other places, or were any of them from Upper Beak?
Yeah, some from Upper Beak and Seal, and some came from far as Upper Pakenham. They used to ride a horse across in the morning and do their day's work and then ride home again.
Do you know what their wages were like for doing that kind of work?
I'm not sure of this, but I think it was £3 a week, but today it would be $6.
Mm. And what other kind of work did they do besides building the roads?
I can't remember them doing any other sort of work, because the reservoir up here was finished when I came up here. Whether they had anything to do with that, I don't know.
Yeah.
But there was Mr. Holmes up here. I can remember when he retired from the dam, he used to have a horse and scoop and put in the bank of the dam down at the, between Upper Beakville and Officer. That was all done by horses.
Yeah. Were people up here self-sufficient? You mentioned before they probably were, like they grew all their own things like that. And do you think that helped them a lot to get through?
Yes, it did. Mm. Mm. Those that had a veggie garden and that were very popular, yes. They grew their own veggies. Well, you had to, really.
Yeah, no choice. Yeah. What else? Is there anything interesting or any significant events that happened up here during that time? Any?
Not that I can remember.
No.
No.
Only, I suppose, the gathering of all the people when the road was finished.
Yes, that's right, that long photo. That's when that road there was completed. And I think the SEC came up here around about that same time, and that improved the local area quite a lot, because the hall up here used to be lit by gas, and there was a caretaker, lived in the caretaker's cottage, and anything on the hall he had to get the gas going and before anything started, you see. And if there was any supper, well, it had to be boiled. The water was boiled in a 4-gallon tin on an open fire, because there was nothing else. Mm. Same with the cricket club up here, and they had afternoon tea. Well, the whole time I played there, they never ever had SEC at the cricket ground. They always boiled the afternoon tea, the water for the afternoon tea, on an open fire. Well, it used to be, didn't taste too very well at times. No. It was a bit smoky.
Don't think it would.
Yeah.
Do you know anything of the prices of the electricity? Was it costly?
I don't know, because we didn't have it.
Yeah.
See, I was living in Foot Road then, and there was no SEC out there.
Yeah, it only went a certain distance.
It came to here,
yeah.
Down this way to the Pine Grove Hotel,
yeah.
And onto this house here, and it's as far as it went. Until after the war, before it went on from here.
Overall, do you think Upper Beak was significantly affected by the Depression?
No, I don't think it was. No, it was no worse than any other place because of so many retired people up here. And see, no matter where you went, anybody on the land was struggling. And even those working in shops and things like that, they were all struggling because their basic wage was then around about the £3 a week, from what I can remember. Then, of course, things were pretty cheap. A loaf of bread would be only sixpence, or petrol was 2 shillings a gallon. What's that, about 5 cents a litre for petrol? But, of course, during the war, the petrol was rationed here, and my father, for a truck, he got 4 gallons a month. 16 litres a month is all he got for the truck. But then we applied for the spray pump and all that sort of thing, and that helped a lot, you see. If we had a couple of other stationary engines, we'd have an allowance for that.
Yeah. Did you ever have any trouble selling your apples and fruit that you grew? Or?
No, because we exported a lot to England and America. That was always an outlet for it. The earlier ones we always took into the Melbourne market, Gravensteins and the early Cookers, Newman Seedling, those sort we took into the Melbourne market. But if we had a surplus of the better apples like Johnny's, Five Crowns, Rome Beauty, Yates, we always exported those, especially the Yates. They liked them because they were a very hard apple and they carried well to England. Rokewich was another one that we sent a lot to England and because they were a very, very hard apple and they carried well.
Did the prices ever drop during the time?
It used to be around about, you'd clear about 3 shillings or 30 cents a case. That would be a 40 pound case or 20 kilo case. That's what you, was about what you'd clear out of it. But then there's a lot of work attached to it because you had to make the cases and pack them and cart them down to the Beaconsfield railway station. But of course we didn't grow the quantity then because we didn't have the fertilisers then to push the apples along. But we pruned a lot harder, so we wouldn't get better sized fruit, because we didn't have to have the fertilisers then that they have today.
Yeah. So the prices of them didn't really change during the Depression?
No, they seemed to be fairly stationary as far as the prices were concerned.
Yeah. Is there anything else that you think might be interesting or helpful to us that you can think of?
Not at the moment, Megan. No, I can't think of anything that's that would be of interest to them. I'm just trying to think. See, the golf links up here was a 9-hole course then, because now it's 36. But the clubhouse is still the same. And the clubhouse up here was built with timber off that particular block of land up there. All the timber came from up the property, and the stones for the fireplace came from the Stony Creek down here. They cut that and made all the chimneys and that. And they're still there.
Do you know where it was built?
About 1926. It was there when I came here in 1930.
Mr. Begg had no further items of interest he could share with me, so that concludes my interview. It has been most successful and very helpful for my option. Also, it's been very enjoyable to share experiences with Mr. Begg. I'm very grateful for Mr. Begg's help, and I'm sure he will be willing to help out future students without hesitation.